Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, please prepare our hearts to receive your words today and act upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The scripture reading is taken from Luke chapter 8, verses 19 to 21. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, wanting to see you." But he said to them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." This is the word of the Lord to you today.
I want to start the sermon, if I may, with a question. This question is simple. What has helped you make it through these past 2 years? What has sustained you during these times of economic anxiety, of home quarantine, of fear, of illness, even death? In these times of COVID-19, what has helped you get through it? I would love you in just a moment to share responses to that question in small groups, groups of, say, 3 or 4 people. If you've come with members of your own family, if you would make sure to share with at least one person who is not a part of your family. And if you are joining us online, I'd invite you to share your answers to this question in the chat. What helped you make it through these past 2 years? If you would, just take a little time now to share that in small groups or in the chat, and feel free to stand up if you like or move about to get close to others. Some of those who are joining us online have shared things like lots of walking with dogs, Knox coffee hour was a big one. Bruce has shared my mom, very sweet Bruce, and thank you all those who shared online. Well, I would imagine that something that was shared in many of the groups was friends. Friends, for many people, sustained them. Friends helped many of us make it through these past 2 years. Now, over the pandemic times, I was especially intrigued to see the role video games played for many, not just youth, but a number of adults, including a few of you elders. You know who you are. So back when I was really into video games growing up, you'd have to go to this place called an arcade to meet other people or to play video games with others, or they'd have to come over to your house or you'd have to go over to their house to play with these things called consoles. And I know consoles are still around, but as you probably know, you don't have to be in another person's presence now to play games with them. Back in my day, when I was growing up, it was Pac-Man or Tempest or Donkey Kong. Today, it's amazing seeing some of the environments that you can step into digitally. And during the times of home quarantine, I know many people would say take on an avatar if it's a fantasy environment to be a wizard. And with that wizard to meet other friends who also had their avatars, their wizards, and together you could explore new digital environments. You could tackle obstacles, you could battle dragons, and you could chat or talk on the phone all the while you were doing this. It was like going to a park to play touch football, except you were able to do this all in the digital environment. It was a way for many of maintaining or even making new friends during the pandemic, meeting them through various video games. We all found creative ways to connect with friends. My friend Jim Rispin and I would often go to 24-hour fitness right up here to work out. During the pandemic, gyms, as you know, were closed, or during the home quarantine time especially. So I bought an exercise bike, as many here probably did. And Elise Carver, thank you for the recommendation of the exercise bike. Great recommendation. Then I would talk on the phone with Jim while I was using the exercise bike in my home, and he was a way to maintain friendships even across distances. Some of you attended Zoom happy hour with this church, Zoom happy hour for parents, or you attended virtual coffee hour, which was mentioned in the chat as a way to connect, or you are part of a Zoom small group or a Zoom book study or an Instagram youth group bake-off or a movie watching night where you could talk to other people while you watched movies. I want to take just a moment, same small groups, or if you want to incorporate different folks, you can, and share, if you would, just a way or two that you were able to sustain friendships in quarantine times. How did you connect with friends in days of home quarantine? Share, if you would, in small groups, or if you're joining us online, share in the chat. Let's do that now. So some of those who've been joining us online shared things like this, that small groups on Zoom were big. I love Bruce shared cooking and Minecraft over FaceTime, small backyard meals and outdoor movie nights. That's creative ways. And weekly phone calls, walks, and talks with my best friend and other responses too. We all did whatever we could to connect with friends over the home quarantine times, didn't we? Because friendship is so important. Friendship is one of those things that makes life worth living. We're in the midst of a sermon series right now entitled A Life Worth Living, looking especially at the life of Jesus Christ and how his life impacts, empowers, and directs our life, how his life makes our lives worth living. And one of those elements that makes human life worth living, human life meaningful, human life a thriving life, is friendship. So for today's service, Kim Perez, Amy Marmol, and your outreach team thought it'd be great to celebrate Palentine's Day. You can celebrate Valentine's Day tomorrow, but today it's about pals. It's about friends. And this seems especially appropriate for a Christian community to do, for a Christian congregation to do. For we are, in many ways, a gathering of friends. One of the ways Christians for 2,000 years have described our relationships to one another has been through language of friendship. We recall from John's Gospel how Jesus said to his disciples, "I have called you friends. I have called you friends." Quakers call a gathering of people together for a church meeting a meeting of friends. In today's passage from Luke's Gospel, Jesus goes even a step further in speaking of the value of Christian friendships. Jesus says to his followers, to those with whom he had shared adventures, boat trips, meals, so much of life together, he'd said to those followers, "You are like family." He says to them, "Anyone who hears the word of God and does it, they are my sisters and brothers." Well, back in Jesus' time, if you wanted to talk about the strongest social bonds you could have with another, if you wanted to speak about the relationships that most sustain you and gave you identity, the relationships that gave you your job, your economic livelihood, the relationships that would often determine who you married, that bound you with other people, you would speak of kinship ties. Kinship was so important in the ancient world. Friends were well and good, but it was family that was that crucial building block of identity and a sense of who you were as part of the whole. In today's passage, Jesus is saying to people who we know are not all related to him, certainly not all related to each other, "You are family. You are my sisters and brothers, my mother." Jesus describes these folks who are his followers, who are listening to him, not just as friends, but friends who are more than that, friends like family. As Christians, we believe this Jesus gave his life for his friends. We believe God sent God's own Son to earth that we might know friendship with God, family with God through that Savior, Jesus Christ. He came that we might know God's forgiveness and embrace God's way of justice and reconciliation, healing, and radical welcome. Through faith in Christ, we believe we're adopted into God's family through the only Son of God, Jesus Christ. He claims us in baptism. We believe and we're united with Christ. We die to sin, rise to all that is good. We're united with other believers too, not only in this space as a part of this local family, but with a broader family spread around the world. All this comes when we say yes to Jesus, answering that claim on him. When he says, as he does earlier in Luke's gospel, inviting people to follow him, when they say yes, suddenly Jesus makes us friends like family, made so by God. And on that road of discipleship, so often we experience the love and healing of Christ through friends. Friends that have been made like family through faith. Frederick Buechner writes of a time he experienced the healing of Christ with another friend. Buechner writes of going through a time of deep depression. He was really anxious for a child. Some of you know what that is like. He was worried for a child, and it was sending him into what he describes as a dark cave of worry, anxiety, and fear. He was living in Vermont at this time, and he received a call from a friend of his who lived in North Carolina. This friend talked to him for a bit, and Buechner thought at the time, man, wouldn't it be great for this friend to be with me, to be able to walk with me, to get some time in person with this friend. And then the friend said, hey, why don't I come over? And Buechner asked, wait, you're in North Carolina? And the friend said, well, you see, I'd heard that you were having a really tough time. So I drove from North Carolina to Vermont so I could visit if you wanted me to. Well, he drove over to Buechner's house right then, and Buechner describes what happens next like this. He wrote, we just took a couple of walks, had a meal or two together, drove around some of the countryside, and that was about it. But I believe that for a little time, we both of us touched the hem of Christ's garment, where both of us, for a little time anyway, were healed. Sometimes we get a touch of that loving, healing presence of God as we know it in Christ through the friendships we have in faith. One of the things I hope for everyone here and everyone listening to this service or participating online, that you too can know that sense of touching Christ's garment alongside other friends, friends who are like family to you through faith. I hope you can get that sense with friends on the other side of a phone call, friends on the other side of a Zoom meeting, friends who are more than friends because of your mutual friendship with Christ, friends Jesus has made like family. Of course, a question comes up for those who've known the power of this friends like family relationship we can have with God through Jesus Christ, and that is, how does that connection, those ties we have with the family of faith, how does that impact our connection with our family of origin, our biological family? How are those two families related? Well, this is one of those times where it's great to have multiple gospels in the scriptures, for we get different portraits of that relationship between family of origin or biological family on one hand and the Christian family on the other. For example, if you read the same story as it's told in Mark's gospel, there's a powerful sense of tension between Jesus' family of origin, that is his kinship family, and the family of his disciples. If you read the passage that Philip read from Luke's gospel today, as it is told in Mark, you will read of how the mother and brothers of Jesus sought to find Jesus as he spoke in a house, as he was in this home packed with people, and they wanted to restrain him. They were concerned that he was out of his mind, that he and the disciples were not even taking time to eat, that he was surrounded by these crowds. So they're portrayed in Mark's gospel standing outside calling to him, hoping to stop him. And in Mark's gospel, Jesus responds once he hears that his mother and brothers are outside by saying, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" then looks around the circle to those who are listening to him, to the circle of disciples, and he says, here are my mother and sisters and brothers. Those who do the will of God are my mother and sisters and brothers. There's a sense of a strong distinction between the two, and that the two can often be in stark tension with each other. Following Christ can mean tremendous conflict at times with that family of origin. Well, in Luke's gospel, there's more of a sense that the ties with our biological family or family of origin don't necessarily always bring us into tension with the family of faith. In fact, they can support it. Members of our nuclear families may even be part of our journey in the family of faith. If you noted in today's passage, there's no reading or there's no words on Jesus's mother and brothers trying to restrain him or stop him. Instead, they come to Jesus, perhaps to hear him teach or preach. And then when Jesus hears that his mother and his brothers are outside, Jesus says, my mother and my brothers, they are those who hear the word of God and do it. Now, a reading of that may be that when Jesus says, my mother and my brothers, he may be pointing exactly to his literal mother and brothers, to those with whom he grew up, those that he traveled with to Jerusalem for pilgrimages, that he went to the temple with. He may be referring to them and saying, they are those who hear the word of God and do it. Or it may be a broader reference to simply anyone who hears the word of God and does it. It may be a reference to the broader family that we can know through faith in Jesus Christ and his life, his call, his claim on us. But in any case, Jesus is pointing to these powerful friendships that happen through people who are word-inspired, word-led, word-directed, and it binds them to Christ and to one another as friends. More than that, friends like family. Earlier in Luke's gospel, Mary is so often portrayed as an example of faith. She hears the call of the angel to name the child Jesus, to respond in faith, and she responds in praise. She and Joseph bring Jesus regularly to Jerusalem for these pilgrimages. For some of us, there is a sense that our connection through friendships in faith, our family connections with church, does create conflict with our families of origin. For those of you for whom that's your experience, Mark may speak powerfully to you. For others of us, faith and connection to Jesus Christ and to others in the family of faith may have been nurtured, may be supported by members of our nuclear family. Mothers, sisters, brothers may have been a part of our journey of first claiming faith ourselves, of discovering the love of God in Christ. But either way, we're offered this profound opportunity as folks here to know a richness of family that we can know in Christ, whatever our nuclear family, whatever our family of origin, whatever our kinship ties might or might not be. Some of you are here today because you wanted more than just your kinship ties. You wanted for yourself, maybe for your children, maybe for your spouse, to be able to experience a sense of that family we have beyond just that family in our household or the family we were born into. You wanted to know what it's like to be part of a broad intergenerational community where we eat together, sing together, share life together with people that we don't have kinship ties with, and yet we've been made close friends, even family, by Christ. You'll be able to hear in just a short bit from Cynthia and Josh of ways to deepen friendships with others in this community through a small group opportunity that will be starting up March 2nd, as well as through a book gathering to celebrate one of our authors, Jess Wong, but there are other opportunities too, through small groups, Ash Wednesday, coming up on March 2nd, we're finally going to be able to have another outdoor meal. Those of you who are at barbecue and bluegrass know the power of feeling like a big extended family, gathered around tables, enjoying food, and yet being with people with whom we don't have kinship ties, but rather ties of faith. If you want to build new pals, you can join our immigration ministry team or one of our other justice or service teams, and in doing so, you'll become more aware of some of the issues that face our world today and how faith can speak to them. Irma has been spending the last couple weeks with her biological sister in Texas, but this Monday night, we're going to be able to welcome her back into the family of faith she has here at Knox. And by the way, she needs a family member, meaning one of y'all, to pick her up at the airport. So if you're available, talk to Josh. We're family, after all. We're planning an outdoor dinner for Ash Wednesday. Some of you have even seen a gardening party that took place last Saturday to plant some native plants in the entryway that you can see outside. This is something that families do, that friends like family do. So this Palentine's Day, when we remember pals, know that you have pals here, right beside you, in this room, or online. But more than that, know the truth of the gospel. Know that you have a friend in Christ, in one who died and rose for you. You have a friend in the one who looked at you and said, there is my sister. There is my brother. There is more than a friend. There is friend like family. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, amen.